Well, now, a bit of good news for you. A spectacular display of nature is currently underway off the coast of Queensland. The Great Barrier Reef has begun its annual spawn, with trillions of eggs and sperm being released into the Pacific and turning the deep blue waters into a galaxy of its own. With climate change posing a significant threat to reefs, scientists are racing to make the most of these spawning events. Dr. Christopher Doropoulos is Senior Research Scientist in the Sustainable Marine Futures Program at CSIRO Environment and joins me now. Christopher, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Sally. Thanks for having me.
Not many people have witnessed this spectacular event. Can you describe what it's like to be out on the reef when it's spawning?
Yeah, it's an amazing event. There's always a lot of excitement around it. For scientists as well as other people as well. And you're just kind of out there. It's typically a very still night when the corals spawn. They don't generally spawn when it's really windy. And you can kind of just see all of these small, like, bubbles coming to the surface. But, they're not bubbles. They're egg sperm bundles, and they're kind of pink in shape, and they just float up gently, and then they all kind of hit the surface. And after a few hours, they start aggregating into dense aggregations, and that's when we start calling them coral spawn slicks, because they kind of look like oil slicks.
And how often does the spawning happen?
Yeah, any kind of given reef, it spawns, like, has a massive spawning event one or two nights a year. On the Great Barrier Reef, it's mainly in November. We also have spawning in October and December, and it's usually about five nights after the full moon, give or take anything about five nights either side.
And how does the coral know that now's a good time to release?
There's a few different cues. So the early cues are a change in water temperature. That's one of the dominant drivers. So that kind of cool to warm water change that happens earlier in the year is one of the early cues. And then closer to the actual time of spawning, it's related to things like the amount of hours past sunset and the kind of light quality that the moon's giving. They're the major kind of drivers.
And have these spawning patterns, have they changed much over the years, Christopher?
Well, I've got to rack my brain a little bit for that one, but I don't think there's any evidence suggesting that there's been any major shifts with spawning timing related to kind of disturbances or climate change. I think there was a recent analysis done on that. It's a bit of complex, though, because there's a lot of cryptic diversity in corals. So when people are doing a species analysis, it might actually be five species. So it's not the easiest thing to diagnose yet.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and you're hearing from Dr. Christopher Doropoulos. We're talking about the spawning on the Great Barrier Reef. You're using you've developed a new technology to increase the resettlement of coral spawn. Tell me about that, these larval seed boxes. How does all that work?
Yeah, that's right. Together with Southern Cross University, we've been working for a few years on scaling larval-based coral restoration. And last year we had these really successful trial with these larval seed boxes. So it's quite simple and modular. It's a kind of clear Perspex box. It's about 60 by 50 by 30 centimetres in size. And we put mesh panels on it so the larvae can't escape. So it's very fine phytoplankton mesh, about 0.1 millimetre in size. And then we can get these larvae once they're ready to go through metamorphosis. So they start changing their behaviour and swimming in the water column, looking for somewhere to attach to and metamorphose. We place them in these boxes, and then we put the box onto the reef, just a few centimetres above the reef. And then on the bottom of the box is about 550 holes. And these are all about 2 millimetres, so just a little bit bigger than the larvae. And then they've got a slider on it. We open that. And then when the larvae want, they can leave this kind of safe environment of this larval seed box and find their way onto the reef where they can attach and go through metamorphosis.
Just finally, how would you describe the health of the Great Barrier Reef right now? We've had ongoing concerns about the health of the reef and bleaching and other issues and climate change. How's it going?
Yeah, it's variable depending on where you are on the reef. in 2024, we had a really, really severe bleaching event, and that was after quite a few years of recovery. And then earlier in this year as well, we had some minor bleaching throughout the reef. So, as I said, it depends where you are on the reef. Some places, you know, are in a good state of coral cover and diversity, but large areas of the reef have been quite impacted in the last couple of years.
You've got yourself a fascinating job there, Christopher. Thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on the show.